Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the NFC South preview edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. I'm Pod Vader. Hope you've enjoyed our previews this season because this is the final one. We have previewed all eight divisions in the NFL, and now we present you the NFC South. We only have two superfans currently in this division. That is MJ, our Falcons superfan, and Chris, our Saints superfan. So we do need superfans to represent the Panthers and the Buccaneers. If you're interested, nextfanup@gmail.com. That's the email address. Send those in. Don't fret. We still have previews for the Buccaneers and those pesky little Panthers, who, by the way, I think a lot of the question marks in this division revolve around that particular team. We have some experts from the Fansided, fansided.com, to represent those teams. Alan Schechter, not to be confused with Alan Schefter, will be here to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Brandon Moore will represent the Carolina Panthers. Those interviews will be coming up after I talk with the two superfans that we have to have a little bit of a roundtable discussion, a little smaller table than some of the other divisions. But if you missed any of the other divisions, please do go back and check those out. They are archived in many different places, blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. You can always subscribe on iTunes if you have an iPhone. Just go to the Apple Podcasts app, subscribe to Next Fan Up. You'll see all eight divisions ready and waiting for you to listen to and enjoy. And of course, if you don't have an iPhone, you can subscribe on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or any other great podcast place where podcasts are heard. Just go to one of those apps. I tend to recommend Stitcher. It's a little bit more universal. So go to Stitcher.com. and search for Next Fan Up, and you'll find our wonderful podcast, and you'll see our archive of podcasts available. You can go back even further than just our division previews. You can listen to any of our off-season podcasts, all of which feature great conversations about some of the things that have happened so far this season. And then, of course, you won't miss any of our upcoming podcasts either, where we will have plenty of great podcasts, including the one that will come up later on this week. Well, actually, it's technically next week because it'll be released on Sunday. But in any case, why don't we get right into talking about the NFC South? All right, ladies and gentlemen. So I have the two super fans that are representing the NFC South currently. And that's right. You heard me. Only two. So if you want to be the Panthers super fan or the Buccaneers super fan, you need to send in those emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. I'll have special guests to represent those teams a little later on. But we wanted to make sure that Chris, who is our Saints super fan, and MJ, who is one of our newest super fans representing the Atlanta Falcons, got together so that they could at least have a little bit of interaction talking about the division as a whole. Hello, Chris. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Pod. How's your day going so far?
I'm going to be a little frazzled, so there might be some edits coming through, and when there's edits, I tend to miss them. But don't let that dissuade you from remaining a super fan, MJ.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
It's a fly by the seat of our pants sort of operation here on the Next Fan Up podcast. So we will start, as we always do, with the team that finished at the top of the division. And that was you, MJ. But the real question is, how is your team going to recover from 28-3?
So I would be lying if I said I don't expect us to make it back to the Super Bowl again this year. Will we actually make it back to the Super Bowl? That's an interesting question. With some of the off-season acquisitions we made on the defensive side of the ball, I definitely feel good about us easily being a playoff team, but I am reluctant at this point to say Super Bowl team just because the rest of the NFC South has also made some good acquisitions in the off-season.
Chris, what are your thoughts on the division leader sort of Where is your team in comparison to where the Falcons are?
Well, first off, this is my first show with MJ, and he's far too nice. He needs to understand what this rivalry is about. As far as Saints-Falcons, the Falcons are trash. They'll continue to be trash. They got lucky last year. The Saints,
lucky.
They'll
okay.
do better. So we're going to be, you know what, don't interrupt me. From here on out, you'll be known as not him until you earn that, MJ.
Oh, wow.
Big talk
welcome to the show,
from
MJ.
The Saints fan. Big talk from the Saints fan.
From the Saints
okay?
fan. The one with the Saints. Ring, as we like to call ourselves.
That's right. You got one, but when was the last time you were relevant in the division as a whole? Yeah, that's what I thought. I'll wait for you to be relevant again.
1-0? Is that what the score still is?
I'm just saying, you're right. You've got a ring, just like Tampa Bay's got a ring. And again, when was the last time y'all were relevant in the division?
Still. We have so much time on our hands to polish the ring. We don't need to be relevant. It will be relevant this year, though, if you're waiting.
Okay. We'll see. You'll be at home in the playoffs again, watching just like last year.
And there you go.
We all had front row seats for that Super Bowl, buddy.
Well, and speaking of that Super Bowl, as I'm looking currently at ESPN.com, there's a fresh story about how Devontae Freeman doesn't seem to have shaken off much of that Super Bowl hangover, saying he was supposed to be the Super Bowl MVP. That doesn't sound like moving on here, MJ.
No, it doesn't. And I have to say, I do not at all agree that he would have been Super Bowl MVP. I don't.
Who would it have been?
Honestly, I think it would have been a toss-up between either Ryan or Coleman.
I think I agree.
But in regards to Devontae Freeman, as much as I love Freeman on the squad, that block that he missed when we were making a pass play that we shouldn't have been making, that was a big momentum shift. And, yeah, no, I can't give up an MVP trophy to somebody who made that much of a blunder. And a lot of people have argued that we should have just run the ball instead of making the pass play. And I'm one of those people who says we should have run the ball, but the play was called as the play was called, and he missed the block that was pretty damn important.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that fact that the Falcons were up 28-3, but this wasn't the first time last season that the Falcons got out to a huge lead only to blow it at the end.
It wasn't. One thing I've always said about the Falcons, and this is this past season or any other season, you can tell how well my Falcons are going to do by our first possession of the second half. Now, that possession doesn't necessarily, if we have that first possession and we do well, that doesn't mean we're going to win the game, but it means we'll have a better second half. We had a really, really bad first possession of the second half, and we really played badly the second half of the Super Bowl. You go back and you look at any of our other games where we had a good first possession coming out of halftime, we had a good rest of the game. I don't know what it is about that first possession, but it seems to be pretty damn important to the team's morale going into the second half.
So who are some of the players that you've added or subtracted from your team that should help improve upon that?
So I think that picking up Dontario Poe as well as Tack McKinley will definitely make an impact. And if Trufant can stay healthy, now that he's back and we've got some depth at that cornerback position, I think we'll do well. Because that tends to be our issue, is our defense is usually our biggest Achilles heel. But like I said, with Poe and McKinley and now Trufant coming back healthy, I think the defense will be locked up pretty nice.
What about the departure of your offensive coordinator? Are you scared a little bit about what this offense is going to look like?
I am honestly a little concerned. I am a little concerned because consistency at the offensive coordinator position is pretty damn important. Whenever I look at other teams that have consistent OCs matched with their quarterbacks, those teams traditionally do exceptionally well. That's one of the reasons why I say I think we're a Super Bowl, or no, I'm sorry, not Super Bowl. We're definitely a playoff-bound team. But that offensive coordinator, the most that I know about him is that one game, or I'm sorry, the two games from Alabama, and that's about it. I haven't really had a chance to sit and look him up and see what the rest of his resume looks like, but that has me a little concerned. But these guys get paid millions and millions of dollars. They'll figure it out.
Which games do you have circled for this upcoming season, MJ?
Honestly, the only ones I'm truly concerned about are the divisional games. Don't get me wrong. That's not to say that the other ones aren't important, but our divisional games, because those are teams that we see all the time, those are going to be some of the crucial games.
Are you looking for a sweep this season, or are you okay with losing one or two?
No.
Yeah, let me rephrase that.
Because
you're never okay losing one or two to the division. That was a horrible question.
No. Yeah, I want to sweep the entire division. I want to punish everyone else in the NFC South and make them understand why we were the Super Bowl bound team last season, and why we will be a Super Bowl bound team again this season.
Chris, how likely is that to happen?
Likely is it? Nah, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Don Terry Poe's fat. Tack McKinley has more mama issues than Norman Bates. And if you've only looked up those two games by Steve Sarkisian, I want to be a fly on the wall when you Google his USC career. It's going to be hilarious. The fact of the matter is, joking aside, the division's really tough. But I think it's only tough if Tampa Bay picks up. I think the Saints will be strong. I think Atlanta will be strong. I think Carolina's the dead duck this year.
Really? Carolina? Huh. Okay.
Yeah. I honest opinion, I do. How much have they improved from last year? Besides Christian McCaffrey, what are you excited about?
That's a good point. That's definitely a good point. You're right.
I think the opinion on what the Panthers are or who they are remains squarely on the shoulders of their quarterback. And for a guy who 2 years ago looked to be the true MVP of this league to take the step back that he did last season, I think consistency is the word that I'm struggling to look for.
Yeah.
What you call consistency, I call mental toughness. You could tell by the way Cam Newton's jogging onto the field and how he is in the second half on if they're going to win that game or not. He shuts down. And it's sad because he's very talented, but he's not... I think his reputation is better than who he actually is.
So before I transition completely off of the Falcons here, MJ, a couple of the games that I want to ask you about as I'm looking at the schedule, and there are a bunch of rematches, and they happen to be in prime time. So you're hosting the Packers again in week two. I'm sure that'll be a game that you'll be watching intently. And then, of course...
Definitely.
October 22nd, primetime, NBC, you're at the Patriots. How important is that game for the psyche of the team?
I think that is a very important game. We've already, obviously everybody knows, we lost the Super Bowl to them. There's been a lot of jokes at our expense. Some of them I can't really have much of a comeback for because there's a lot of truth in it. However, it will be a great boost mentally and to everybody's ego to go into New England and win that game. So yes, of any of our other games, that rematch, honestly, I would probably put that rematch at the same level as I would us playing the Saints at home. To me, this year, that game is that important.
You do have a number of primetime games this year. You're at the Seahawks on Monday Night Football, November 20th. But you have back-to-back primetime games against division mates, the home game against the Saints on December 7th, and then another Monday Nighter at the Buccaneers. And that's where I will let you guys talk a little bit about the up-and-coming Buccaneers. You know, that seems to be a team that I look at in a very favorable sense, much as I look at the Titans. Teams with young quarterbacks, young teams overall that are on the rise and certainly look to be improving each and every day. And the Bucs added a nice speedy wide receiver to help out that Jameis Winston character.
Yeah, he's it depending on how quickly he works into the system, Tampa Bay could definitely be a team to watch in the division. Do I think they stand a chance of actually winning the division? No, I don't. But I do believe they're going to give the rest of the division trouble if they work him into the system properly and whether or not he's a good fit for the team, because a lot of people look like they're a good fit on paper, but until you actually get on the field and start taking snaps, we really don't know how much of an advantage or a boost to the team he'll be.
Chris, go ahead and take your shots at the Bucs.
Well, DeSean Jackson's interesting because he can be stopped. I mean, we're not talking about Calvin Johnson. We're talking about somebody who will do nothing 2-3 weeks in a row, but then that one team falls asleep on him and he kills him. Yep, Tampa's interesting because I see the hype. I understand why people are getting excited. They seem to be having a lot of, I want to call them low character people coming in, but they're kind of reminding me of the Bengals from a few years ago, or even the Bengals now. You know, you're Noah Spence's, you're DeSean Jackson's. I believe Kendall Beckwith has had issues. More Brett Grimes' wife, as our old Dolphins superfan will tell you, but Brett Grimes isn't the most squeaky clean locker room individual. This team brings in a lot of players that have baggage, and that always seems to work early and then fail big. That would be my biggest concern with them.
All right, well, let's talk about your biggest concerns with your team, the Saints, as they look at a new era. Although it's not really that new. What are some of the key additions or subtractions from your team that's going to help move your team forward this season?
Well, we've had probably the most brutal minicamp we could have had so far. There's a pending Nick Fairley retirement that all Saints fans are waiting. That's huge. We just gave the man about $30 million to find out he has a heart condition that may prevent him from playing. He's somebody who we were going to rely heavy on to rotate with Sheldon Rankins to get that penetration up the middle. It's no secret the Saints' defense is poor. We just need an average defense to get back into the playoffs. We need people like Nick Fairley to be there. Unger is going to be out. They're saying week one, which normally means till week three or four. And now Teron Armstead is out for the season. Both losses we can absorb, but that's a lot to take on this early into the process. If they come back, though, the defense is looking better. Rashard Lattimore could be a big step up for our cornerbacks. Getting Delvin Bro back is huge. He's a legit number one corner in the league. T.J. Williams, you know, I believe we ended up with 8 corners on IR last year by the end of the season. No team in the NFL even keeps 8 corners on their roster. So to have actual NFL caliber players is big. Jarius Byrd is out, which he never fit the system to begin with. Marcus Williams will be able to step in to be the single high safety with Von Bell and Kenny the Carl playing into the box. That's big. We actually, it's looking like we have a defense. May not be a good one, but shouldn't be in the bottom half of the league either. So if that happens, Saints are right back in it.
Talk to me a little bit about your offense, your number one receiver.
Reminus Brandon Cooks, this team doesn't really have a number one receiver. I mean, we've always been able to find somebody else to step in. Michael Thomas had over 1,000 yards last year and I think 88 catches. You know, Mark Ingram was dominant. We brought in Alvin Kamara to step in to replace that Darren Sproles production that we lost. And then that, I don't know, some guy from Minnesota, Patterson, something like that. So that's a big step up. And a really, I think, underrated pickup in Larry Warford, the right guard from Detroit. As well as Jarre Evans played last year, it was average at best. So to bring in a young, run-blocking right guard to put next to Streif, then you bring in Peterson, that's going to really help balance things out. If we can have a better rushing attack, which was good last year, but if we can have a better one, that'll keep our defense off the field. Saints are primed to make a move this year.
What are the key games that you've got circled on your schedule?
For New Orleans this year, it's all how they start. You know, their first four games are Minnesota, New England, Carolina, and the Dolphins. We know who the Patriots are. We don't have to sit here and harp on that. But if the Saints can start off 3-4 in that, we're good. If we start off 1-3 or 1-4 like we did last year, then we're looking at another 7-9 season and very likely the last we've seen of Breeze and Sean Payton in New Orleans.
So you think you need to have a winning season to keep those two?
I think if we go 7-9 for the fourth time, and I think in 5 years, there's going to be a change made.
Again, I said it for the last 2 years. There's no quarterback, and maybe even head coach, more closely tied to their city than Drew Brees and Sean Payton. So that would be... that would definitely be a messy breakup for sure.
Hey, you know, look, you're not going to find a Saints fan excited about Chase Daniel being the starting quarterback. You know, it's one of those situations where, but no, I grew up in an era where I had to watch Joe Montana as a Chief too. It could happen. So if they win, I think we're good.
You have Ryan Nassib in the depth chart as well. It doesn't all have to be Chase Daniel.
That's the problem. Between Ryan Nassib, Garrett Grayson, and old chubby Chase Daniel, that's my best option. So, look, we need to be, and I think it's possible. I think the Saints could go 9-7, 10-6 this year. I'm not going to say we win the division, but I think we have a shot at wild card, and that's, really, that's all it'll take. Breeze knows his career is about over. He wants that second ring. Now, frankly, I think he wants to at least tie Peyton. He's mentioned it before. So when everything's said and done, he's going to go and give him the best chance to do that.
All right, gentlemen, before I let you go, I will share with you my win-loss predictions based on game-by-game predictions. And I will start with you, Chris. The Saints, I see them doing a little bit better than last year, but not that much. I have them at 8-8, and they will start the season, 1-3. 2-3, to be even more specific.
Who do you have them losing to?
I have them losing on the road at Minnesota in the home opener. I have them losing to the Patriots, and then I do have them losing at Carolina. I believe I have you split versus Carolina, and when I do that, I usually give the home team the victory and the away team the loss.
Taking Sam Bradford over Drew Brees. Sam Bradford. Odd. Wow. Odd.
I'm just saying, you're in Minnesota, in their home opener, in their stadium opener. It's going to be a different atmosphere, and the Saints are a different team on the road.
I just want to interject one little piece here. Even as a division rival, and the Saints is my most hated team, I still give them the advantage over Bradford. I'm sorry. I give them the advantage over Bradford. And I hate the Saints. But Bradford over Breeze, I know. No.
And that, that road home split, that's cold and outside is what it makes the difference. This is September. Pod. AP coming home, you don't think he's got something extra for him?
Oh, I'm sure he's got something extra. The question is, how much is he going to actually see the field? You mentioned Alvin Kamara, and let's not forget Mark Ingram is still on that team. And I know that the popular phrase is Sean Payton hates Mark Ingram, but I don't necessarily believe that's actually true.
Oh, he had 1,000 yards last year. But that's still, AP will get his 10, 15 touches. But I'll let you have your prediction at 8-8. I won't argue anymore because your Patriots took care of business. So, Saints fans owe you guys one. And good luck trying to use Cooks on an end around. He's terrible at it. So,
I don't think they're going to try and use Cooks on an end around. I think they're going to try and use Cooks as a burner to take the top off and open things up for Gronk and the rest of the Smurfs underneath. MJ...
As you're
chuckling, I have your Falcons finishing with the exact same record as last year, 11-5. But you get the lovely ability to start off 5-0 to drop your first loss at that Patriots game.
Really? Okay. I don't at all agree with that, but okay.
I will say the start of your season is a lot easier than the Saints with at Chicago, Green Bay, which would be a tough game, but I gave you the W there, at Detroit, and then hosting Buffalo with a bye week, and then hosting Miami.
Right.
People have already heard my AFC East thoughts. I'm not high on any of the AFC East teams other than the Patriots.
Gotcha. And see, that's going to be a lot similar to our last few seasons, with a pretty decent start at the beginning. It started to fall off in the middle and a decent pickup towards the end of the season. So that, looking at the schedule, I'm seeing a lot of, I mean, obviously not the exact same team, but I'm seeing a lot of the same predictions and discussions about the games, and 11-5. I'm okay with that. I'd rather it be 12-4 because I don't want to lose to the Patriots again. That's just kind of a, damn, y'all couldn't figure it out. But, you know, again, they will be the defending Super Bowl champions, and a lot of people always give the nod to the defending Super Bowl champions.
Well, and the key for your team is ending the season with division rivals. New Orleans twice. Yeah. At Tampa Bay and then hosting the Panthers to end the season. That will be a telling stretch for your team. And I currently have you 2-2 in those four games. So that would be, that would definitely change the record from 11-5 to a higher record. The Buccaneers, I see them finishing with a similar record as they did last year at 9-7. I do like the things that they're doing, and I do think that the arrow is pointing up. I just don't know if they're ready to take that extra step. And the Panthers, this is the one that I think I'm the most wrong on. I have the Panthers making a return to Cam Newton's MVP season and also finishing at 11-5. They will finish second to your Falcons, though, MJ, on tiebreakers. So they will only enter the playoffs as a wild card, not a division winner.
Gotcha.
But
if Cam Newton can get his head in the game, I think he'll be dangerous. But everybody's figured out how to get in his head because, you know, he was arguing about not getting the same protection that other quarterbacks in the league get, and it's gotten in his head. And that's going to be a big issue for them.
And again, it comes down to the fact that the Panthers finished last in the division gives them a last place schedule. And so those extra games that get scheduled for them are against last place teams. They're going to get the opportunity to open the season with the 49ers. That's a gimme. That's a gift.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a gift that both of your teams don't have.
At what point in time, though, do we start considering Carolina a gift? I'm still wondering what we have positive in Carolina. You've got Cam Newton, who looked terrible. You've got Kelvin Benjamin. I don't even know what he is anymore.
He's the starting right guard.
He's a dropopotamus. That's Kelvin Benjamin.
The defense
has gotten old, and they don't have a secondary. Their big acquisition was Julius Peppers.
You're right. Last season was a down season for the Panthers, and it is a show me who you really are type of season for the Panthers this year. But they did show that they can be a better team the previous year. And I think that they can still get back to that based on the quality opponents that they will be facing this season. That's literally all I've got it based on. Otherwise, if they were facing similar opponents to the Falcons, for instance, if they had that first place division schedule, I would probably have them back down, you know, below 500. Anyway, it's going to be a fun season to see. I will be talking with a special guest about the Panthers and that other team in your division. That portion of the podcast was edited out. So it's a little inside joke here between Chris and MJ and I. But Chris and MJ, thanks so much for being super fans. Appreciate it. And you guys have a good one.
Cool. Thanks. You too. Take it easy, guys.
All right, folks, since we don't have super fans to represent the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Carolina Panthers, I have brought in some experts to fill in those roles. And for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I've brought in a co-expert at Pewter Plank on fansided.com. It's Alan Schechter. Hello, Alan. How are you?
Good, Jay. Thanks for having me.
How often do people confuse you for Mr. Schechter? I'm sure it happens quite a bit.
That's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because they had ESPN was doing a show a while back, NFL, I think it was NFL Insiders, where they were taking tweets for comments, and I got a couple of tweets on the show, and they actually on air accused it of being Adam Schechter under an alias. So it happens once in a while.
See, there you go. I thought it might. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this is an interesting team for me because it's most likely because they were in the same draft class. I look at the Bucs and the Titans very closely as to how they've been improving over the past couple years, and maybe fairly or unfairly, I continue to compare those two teams based mainly on Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. So I do think a lot of the Buccaneers' improvements as we continue through the 2017 season will rely heavily on Jameis Winston. Is that fair?
I would agree with that. They're putting all kinds of weapons around him, but it's going to always come back to his decision making. When he's going with his instincts and letting it go and letting it fly without thinking too much, he's on, and there's no telling where the Bucs can go. But if he gets into that habit of holding the ball too long and trying to make a play where there is none, then he's going to take a few steps back, which is not obviously what we want. So it will be very dependent on how he looks in this year three. It's a huge year for him.
And they've certainly done quite a bit to put some new weapons around him. DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard was drafted. Will O.J. Howard, though, be the primary tight end, or is Cameron Brait, who had sort of a breakout season last year, remain in that role?
I think Brait will remain in the role to start, mainly because Winston becomes very dependent on the receivers he trusts. Evans led the league in targets last year. For example, he had 174 targets leading the league by a wide margin. He throws to the guys he feels comfortable with. And I think guys like Howard and guys like Godwin will get their touches, but I think it's going to take time for them to work their way into Winston's comfortability level. So I think, at least to start the season, Brait will be the primary, and Howard you'll see a lot when they go five wide. But I think Howard will work his way in there where maybe they're almost to equal time by the end of the year.
You mentioned Chris Godwin, the rookie wide receiver. I know he is highly regarded amongst many draftnik circles, perhaps one of the steals of this past draft. How has he looked in camp, and how is he coming along with the offense?
He's coming along very well, according to all reports. Coaches are very, very high on him. It's something you have to take with a grain of salt, because again, it's football and shorts. So we can't put a lot of stock in it. I mean, we could write a book probably if we go around the league of players that have looked good during spring shorts football and have fallen flat once they put the pads on. But all signs are good. They like him. They like him a lot. He's working his way in quickly.
What about the addition of Ryan Fitzpatrick? Will he be of assistance to Jameis Winston? I doubt he's going to be a distraction, but do you feel like that was a good signing for the team, or sort of an unnecessary pickup?
Patrick is a good signing because if God forbid he is forced to play due to an injury to Jameis, he plays well, Fitzpatrick, when he's got a lot of good weapons around him. Look at his 2015 season when he had Brandon Marshall, he had Eric Decker healthy, and he set records up in New York. But when he lost Eric Decker last year, then it was a problem. Fitzpatrick isn't the best decision maker, but he's in the best position to make good decisions, if that makes any sense, when he's got a lot of weapons around him. So if he were to come into a scenario with Sean Jackson and Mike Evans and Cameron Brait and O.J. Howard, he'll be in a position to play well. And that, and the fact that he can help these guys off the field as well. He can help the kid in the locker room, help the kid in the film room. He's an intelligent, as long as he's not throwing six interceptions like he did against Kansas City Chiefs last year, he's an intelligent football person and can help him read the defenses better and help him learn to trust what he's seeing better and not force plays when they aren't there. So I like the signing a lot cool. Better than the backup they had before. Mm.
On the in the running back room, though, who's going to be the one that's going to be carrying the rock? Doug Martin, we know about his issues. And it looks like there's a lot of undersized guys, but maybe I'm wrong there.
Look for DeQuiz Rogers to be the starter to start the year while Doug is out. Mm. They're all very, very high on Doug. They think he's looked good so far, but again, it is spring football. And I speculated on a site at the PeterPlank.com, an article at the PeterPlank.com, that maybe they're just drumming up a lot of support to maybe try to move Doug Martin once he comes off a suspension. But they're very high on him, and it sounds like the public perception that they want to put out there is that he's going to carry the rock when he comes back. And Tampa Bay fans, they'd love that. Because if they could get the 2015 Doug Martin or the rookie Doug Martin back, then this team could be darn near unstoppable. But at this point, fans should look for DeQuiz Rogers over the first 3 weeks. And then we'll see, because the rumors on Doug Martin are that he may not be in the plans. So it's hard to say where they're going to go from there.
You mentioned that this team could be unstoppable, but that means they would have to stop people. What's the defense shaping up like?
The defense, I honestly believe, is ready to take that next step. No, they didn't add a lot of pieces. They added Justin Evans in the draft. They added J.J. Wilcox to the safety to help rebuild the secondary a bit. They started to come on at the end of last year during that winning streak, where they were holding the points per game down almost to the level they did in 2002, where they had the magical run to the Super Bowl. So it took about half a season for them to really ingrain themselves with Mike Smith's defensive concepts. But once they did, the defense is very, very good. Noah Spence is going to take a big step this year. Some think he could make the jump to 15 sacks. Gerald McCoy is going to be Gerald McCoy. I think one of the biggest keys is going to be if Vernon Hargraves takes the next step, because he had a bit of a rough year, the only cornerback that gave up over 1,000 yards to his opposing receivers. Because Brent Grimes did good, but you can't expect another year out of him to that level. He's going to get old. He's going to start to hit the other side of the mountain. But Hargrave is going to be the key back there, as well as the safeties. But if they can hold it together, I think this defense is going to be able to surprise people and make a run at things and give Atlanta a run for its money in that NFC South.
Normally, I don't ask questions about the special teams players, but there is an interesting situation developing there with the place kicker, with the second-year kid versus Nick Folk, who's, you know, been a fairly consistent kicker in the league. So which direction do you think it's going to end up at the end of camp?
Interesting you bring that one up, because we were debating amongst ourselves off of print, I guess, how much time they're going to spend on Hard Knocks watching the two kickers battle, because that could make for really not compelling television. I'm watching dueling kickers on a side-by-side screen. But be that as it may, I think they would like it to be the young kid, Aguayo, because I don't think they want to have to give up on somebody that they made a move to get, and they jumped up to get. Jason Light, the general manager of the team, is not adverse to admitting he's wrong, but I don't think he's going to want to here. So I think he'd like to see Aguayo step up and win this job from Folk. But I think the resounding opinion that he's not going to, that Nick Folk's consistency is going to win out. But either way, it really is a win-win for the Buccaneers and for the Buccaneers fans. Because there's two results. Either Nick Folk will be the starting, could be the place kicker, and we've seen through the years how consistent he is, or the young man Aguayo will improve his game to where it's not, where we don't have to put on a blindfold every time he steps up, make a kick, because he'll have improved well enough to be a consistent kicker. So either way, it's a winning situation. But if I had to predict who will be stepping up to the tee week one, the first time they kick off, it'll be Folk.
Where do you see the key games this season for the Buccaneers? Which games do you have circled on your calendar?
There are a couple. Well, obviously, aside from the big ones in the division, which are always going to be key, Rex Ryan used to say how they were worth a game and a half in the division, in the standings, and in a sense, he's right. So those are always going to be the biggest. There are a couple I had earmarked. One, because it could be a trap game. I'm going to point out one that might surprise people listening to this podcast. November 12th, the New York Jets are coming down to Tampa Bay, and people are going to say, wait a minute, why are we pointing out this game? They have nobody playing quarterback. They have nobody really to do anything. They stripped their roster. Yes. But that is the perfect place to have a trap game. They're going to expect nothing. They'll just finish playing a divisional opponent the week before. They have the Saints in New Orleans the week before. And then they head into a bye before they face the Falcons in Atlanta. Two fairly big games sandwiched around a game that they think that they're probably going to think they can win without looking. And that's the easiest way to get caught. And if you're going to get caught and you get trapped in a game like that, it could cause the momentum as they head into the final weeks of the season to go off the charts the wrong direction. So I actually earmarked that as a big one. And the other big one I really had an eye on as I first went through the schedule was in October when they take on New England, because this team has aspirations to make a playoff run quickly. And what better way to give yourself a litmus test than to face the number one rated player on the NFL Top 100, 39 years old, and the rest of his mates from New England to show where you're really at. So those are two. One odd one, one tough one. I would say outside of the divisional games are big ones for me.
This team finished second in the South last season with a record of 9-7. I feel like 9-7 fits this team. I don't know if they're ready to make that next step up, but where do you sort of see this team when the playoffs come around? Is this a playoff team? Where do you rank them in this division?
I would say it's all going to come down to the play of that quarterback, and it's going to come down to the play on the back line of the defense. I think this team could get to double-digit wins. I really do. the offense is that potent. And the defense flashed at being that explosive on the other side. I would say a baseline for them would be 8 to 9 wins. But if they play up to their potential, I really do think they could give Atlanta a run for their money at 10, maybe even 11 wins. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take Winston taking the step up and not making bad decisions. It's going to take Hargrave's going to be able to cover somebody. It's going to take a running game. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Yours is probably more the popular choice, more the more realistic of 8 to 9 wins. But I think the team has the potential to go to 10 or 11 if things break right and people play well.
What do you? I'm going to be talking with a Panthers expert here in just a moment, but sort of what are your thoughts of Carolina? They seem to be the Jekyll and Hyde of this division. Where do you see Carolina ultimately sitting in this division?
I hate to come back to the same thing I say for my own team, but I think it's a common theme now in today's NFL. It's going to depend on Cam. Mm. If Cam can come back to form, I think they'll be able to compete with us and Atlanta as well. McCaffrey was a great addition. And I think they have a shot to step back into it, because you're right, they're very Jekyll and Hyde. But so my where they fit in could be very, very good and give everybody trouble. Or it could be like last season and they gave nobody trouble. They're a tough one to handicap this early, but it'll depend very much on that quarterback. What's Cam going to do?
Awesome. Alan, where can people find you?
You can find all our writing at thepewterplank.com. You can follow us on Twitter at thepewterplank. Follow me at Alan_Schechter, S-C-H-E-C-H-T-E-R, or follow the site on Facebook, The Pewter Plank.
Awesome. And remember, that's Schechter, no F in there, ladies and gentlemen.
I only wish.
Awesome. Alan, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. And hopefully we get a chance to talk to you again down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jay.
One more team here in the NFC South to discuss, and that is the Carolina Panthers. And I guess we sort of led right up to this point because they seem to be the key piece in this division as we've been previewing everything. The question marks of where this division's going seem to revolve around Carolina. And since we don't have a super fan, I had to reach out for an expert, and I brought in the co-expert at catcrave.com. It is Brandon Scott. Hi, Brandon. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for joining us, because as I mentioned, there seems to be a lot of questions about this NFC South division as we head into the season, and a lot of those questions are sort of what Carolina Panthers team are we going to be looking forward to?
Right. I think that hopefully, you know, I doubt there will be a repeat of the 2015 season just because it was so special, but something in between last year and that would be beneficial for Panthers fans.
Where do you see this team? Like, how close to that 2015 season are we? Or are they closer to what we saw last year?
I think as long as they stay healthy, they'll be closer to the 2015 version. Last year, you know, along the offensive line especially, it was decimated by injuries. And a lot of that, a lot of the offense shouldered on the quarterback, Cam Newton. And he just couldn't stay upright. He took a lot of hits throughout the season. So hopefully if everybody stays healthy, they can be successful, keep Newton upright, and they've added some dynamic offensive weapons through the draft that should be interesting to see how they're utilized once the season begins.
Yes, you are a perfect teaser, Brandon, because you lead me right into Cam Newton, and I guess – which Cam Newton are we going to see? I think that's a question that a lot of people are concerned about. First of all, how is he coming along from his injuries?
He's right on schedule with the timeline that was set forth for coming back from his rotator cuff surgery. He recently threw some overhand passes. They weren't involved in any practice type situation, but he threw with the head athletic trainer there in the building in Carolina, and he seems to be coming along good. He's been an active participant through OTAs, and even though he couldn't participate in the team activities, obviously he wasn't allowed to throw the football. He was still there and still involved, and he's going to be a crucial part to the success in 2017, obviously.
You mentioned some of those dynamic weapons. One of those is Christian McCaffrey. He's the number one draft choice for the team. How is he going to fit in? Will he be more of a running back, or is he going to be featured more in that wide receiving aspect?
I think you'll see him in a little bit of both. Obviously, during OTAs, he only was allowed to participate for one day because of the semester schedule at Stanford where he attended school. So the one day he was out there, he lined up at wide receiver, he lined up at running back, and he even took some Wildcat snaps. So I think they were just trying to see as much of him as possible in that one day that he was available for the team.
Let's talk a little bit about that wide receiving core. And it has too much been made about Kelvin Benjamin's weight? Is he the next Eddie Lacy?
I think that he has just been a lightning rod for criticism ever since the disappointing what appeared to be 2016 season. But after his rookie campaign was so good, you know, people just had real high expectations of him. So hopefully he'll be able to bounce back. And statistically, last year wasn't very different from his rookie year, just him being out and shouldering a lot of the load after a very successful 2015 where he wasn't on the field. He just shoulders a lot of criticism now that he's back out there with the team. But hopefully he'll be able to bounce back and he'll be able to produce and he'll be able to help on the outside at wide receiver.
You know, as I'm looking at the roster, I think one of the underreported stories about this team is just how young it is. You know, there isn't a lot of veteran leadership other than Cam Newton and Jonathan Stewart, especially on the offensive side.
Right, especially on offense, like you said. But I think that the general manager, Dave Gettleman, has done a good job this offseason of bringing in some veterans who will be able to help on the defensive side of the football, especially with the return of Julius Peppers, the return of Captain Munnerlyn, and the addition of safety Mike Adams. All three of those guys are strong veteran players who will definitely help to bolster a young Carolina defense.
When you take a look at the schedule, what are some of the games that sort of stand out to you besides the divisional matchups?
Besides the divisional matchups, you know, I think that the Carolina games that they have home field advantage for, because really looking at the schedule, I think that they should be competitive and they should be able to put themselves in a playoff position. But the games that are obviously going to have the most importance are those divisional games, because like you said, the NFC South is it was dominated by Carolina for three straight years. Last year, you know, Atlanta took over and they won the division and then went to the Super Bowl. But it seems that each one of the teams has improved throughout the offseason, so it'll be interesting to see, and that's why those divisional games are going to be the most important, I think.
I do think, you know, it's one of those quirks of the way that the scheduling system works is, you know, if you come in last place in the division, you get the benefit of having those last place teams in those non-division games. And I think that is definitely something that's going to work to the advantage of the Panthers, you know, and to the disadvantage of, say, the Atlanta Falcons, who, being the division winner, has to face other division winners this upcoming season. And I think that, yeah, you mentioned it. I mean, those divisional games, which no matter what division, no matter what team you're talking about, they're always going to be the ones that you're going to compare yourself to. So how do you see the Panthers fitting in this particular division with an up-and-coming Buccaneers team? Drew Brees is still in New Orleans, and that Atlanta Falcons team that went to the Super Bowl last year.
Right. I think that, as I mentioned, each one of those teams has improved during the offseason, and Carolina is just going to need to take advantage, like I said, when they're at home and just put their best performances forward when they're on the road against those division rivals. Tampa Bay is a young team, but they've been explosive and dynamic behind Jameis Winston. And Carolina, you know, they'd obviously lost last year to them in disappointing fashion, so hopefully they can get a few of those games back with the Falcons as well. After losing the bid for the undefeated regular season to Atlanta, I thought that they would play a little bit better last year, but like I said, that was early on when they just got decimated by Matt Ryan and that Falcons offense. So I think they've made the improvements necessary during the offseason to be able to compete with them and also against New Orleans as well.
I've got the Panthers right now scheduled as a wild card team, finishing the season at 11-5. Am I being a little too optimistic?
Like I said, I think that somewhere between the 6-10 of last year and the 15-1 of 2015 is right where they should be, and I have them projected at around 10-6, also in that wild card spot, possibly in control of the division, depending on how those division games go. So I think that, you know, you're right in line with that. Them being 11-5, 10-6, somewhere around there is what's expected of them. Like I said, and it all depends on, you know, just as it does for every team, how healthy they can keep their roster throughout the season.
Brandon, where can people find you?
You can find us online at catgrave.com, part of the Fansided Network. They can follow me personally on Twitter at this is B Scott.
Awesome. Brandon, thanks so much for joining us, and look forward to maybe talking to you again down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Okay, folks, that's our NFC South preview. As I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, if you've missed any of them, you can always check out our archives available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, AHA Radio. Plenty of great places to listen to the Next Fan Up podcast. Go ahead and subscribe so you never miss a show. I want to thank all the people that have left us ratings and reviews over the last month. They are fantastic, and they only help the podcast, help people find the podcast to listen to. And the more people that can listen to the Next Fan Up podcast, the merrier. So please do share with your friends and family. It's not like we have any industry trade secrets here. We're not helping you win your fantasy team. No, we're just helping you understand the NFL from a many perspective window that we provide you here by the fan, for the fan. That's what Next Fan Up is all about. And we want you to be interactive with us. Send us those emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can send us tweets at NFU Podcast. And of course, we are always available on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. All of our podcasts are listed there too. So if you want to interact with us and listen to our older episodes, that's a great place to go. Next Fan Up on the Facebook page. So what do we got coming up next? Our next show, I will present you with my postseason prediction based on all of those game-by-game predictions that I did throughout this division preview month. I will then present you with the postseason predictions coming up on this Sunday. What teams will be in the Super Bowl? Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Who will be ultimately crowned the champion? I'm going to give you a little tease here. It's not my favorite team. How about that? Soderbergh, not a complete homer. Who would have thought? Well, lots of people would have thought. That's why I am an above average fan. So come and check out our postseason prediction show. It's going to be a fun one. We'll have many different super fans here to have that roundtable discussion, so you're not going to want to miss that. And then, of course, we're getting closer to training camps. Training camps are only a couple weeks away, and we're going to be in full season form as soon as training camps open. I will be attending Patriots training camp in early August. So you'll get my thoughts on not only the Patriots, but also the Jaguars. The Patriots and Jaguars doing joint practices this year. I will be attending one of those, and I will, of course, give you a full report from Patriots training camp, who I think must be cut, what tight end I think is going to be a breakout all-star, and all of the stuff that you're going to need to know not to listen to. So until then, please do email us. Like I said, we need those Panthers. We need those Buccaneers. We need those Lions super fans. If you're a fan of either of those, any of those teams, we need you on this show to represent your team for the season. NextFanUp@gmail.com. And until next time, I leave you with our backup quarterback, Landry Jones. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.